the BBC presents Guilty Party. A problem in crime detection in which you're invited to match your wits with a panel of experts, John Arlott, F.R. Buckley, and Robert Fabian. First of all, you'll hear the crime play, Murder in the Mediterranean. The panel will then decide on a line of investigation and cross-examine the suspects, who give unscripted answers to their questions. But first of all, here is Joe McCready, private investigator.
You know, Inspector, it would take me a long time to get tired of this life.
Oh, I don't know, Jeff. After a fortnight or 3 weeks, you'd find a lying all day on a sunbaked beach would become tedious.
Not when it's the sunbaked beach on the Mediterranean. Just look at that blue sea and sky. Compare it with any seaside resort back home on any average English summer day. Who'd ever want to go back?
You'd get bored. Even with perfection, you can get bored. You know, man's a restless animal.
Well, ask me again at the end of 2 weeks and see how we both feel then. You know, if I had the energy, I'd go in and swim again. Just too lazy to make the effort.
Joe.
Huh?
Joe, just a minute. You know that old chap who paddles out on a rubber mattress every day and lies sunbathing out in the sea?
Sandad, they call him.
Yeah?
What about him?
Shade your eyes and take a careful look at him out there on his mattress. Something about him doesn't look quite right.
How do you mean, quite right? At his age, you don't expect a man to look like Mr. Universe, do you? He must be over 70 if he's a day.
Listen, I've been watching him this past two or three minutes. He hasn't moved at all.
He's asleep.
Maybe, but look at that inflated mattress thing he's lying on. The pillow part of it doesn't look very inflated, does it?
See what you mean. I brought the binoculars down with me.
Now tell me what for. Let me guess.
Hand them over, will you? They're in the beach bag there.
Right. There you are.
Thanks. Well, then. Quite a way out, isn't he?
Yes, but I think it's all right. There's a rope anchoring him to the beach. See it?
Yes. Hey, look. His head's dipping below the water. Come on, Inspector. I think we'd better investigate. When he reached Grandad, he was lying full length, face down, on his inflated mattress. But the pillow section, which was inflated separately from the main mattress, was deflated. In consequence, Grandad's head must have sagged below the waterline. They got him back onto the beach, tried artificial respiration, but it was no use. Grandad was dead. The reason the pillow section had become deflated was because the rubber plug was missing from it. As the old man was English, the local police asked Inspector Galloway and me to help with details of the investigation. Also, to notify his relatives, who, as it happened, were on holiday with him. There were his two grandsons, Bob and Jimmy Trench, and they had with them their lady friends, Mary Grant and Gladys Baker. We spoke to Bob Trench first.
This is the most unfortunate thing to happen in your holiday, Mr. Trench. I can't believe it's happened. Why, the old boy was as strong as a horse, and a fine swimmer at that.
He could swim.
Oh, like a fish. He was a real old Spartan, and a bit of a Tartar, too. Ruled us kids with a rod of iron, always. But a great character. Oh, poor old Granddad.
In that case, he might have had a heart attack.
Granddad Trench a heart attack? Don't make me laugh. He was as sound as a bell.
That's funny. Did you spend a lot of time with him?
Yes, he brought us up, Jimmy and me. You see, our parents were killed in a road accident when we were kids, so he took us over.
Really?
He owns Trench's Chemicals Limited.
Yes, I know.
We supply chemists with pharmaceutical supplies. It's a very flourishing firm.
Were you on the beach all morning?
Yes, in the sea or on the sand. The whole morning. Well, last 3 hours anyway. You know how it is. You flop in, then you flop out again.
Your brother with you?
Of course. Four of us together. Naturally, we weren't stuck with each other all morning. We kept dipping in and out of the sea as and when we felt like it.
Do your lady friends swim, too?
Gladys does, but Jimmy's girlfriend, Mary, doesn't. She just splashes around.
Do they all know what's happened?
All except Jimmy. He went back to the hotel to write a letter and post it at the Bureau de Poste.
How long ago?
Half an hour, maybe. This would be a dreadful shock to him. You all got on well with your grandfather. Well, if I said yes to that, it wouldn't be strictly true. You see, he disapproved of my lady friend, Gladys. And young Jimmy and Mari are dying to get married. They're over 21, but Granddad wouldn't hear of it until Jimmy was 27, 4 years away.
I see. And if you disobeyed him?
Oh, he was a shocker if anybody crossed him. We'd have been cut out of his will in half a jiffy.
Have you all got underwater equipment?
Face masks and snorkel tubes, yes. Well, most people have. Why?
Did you use them this morning?
Yes, I think we all did. But I don't quite see what this has got to do with... Look, you're not trying to suggest there was foul play, surely. I mean, after all, the rubber plugs from these inflatable mattresses do slip out. Only a week ago, the same thing happened with the other rubber raft we've got. So, Granddad bought this new one.
Were you and your brother completely dependent upon your grandfather?
Yes.
And will his death make you independent, financially?
I suppose so, yes. But that doesn't mean to say that...
Thank you very much for your help, Mr. Strange.
Perhaps you'd ask Miss Grant if she'd come along and have a word with us.
Sure. But don't start frightening Mari. She's only a kid.
Thank you, Mr. Strange.
Pardon? Ah, oui, l'inspecteur qui parle. Parlez anglais, s'il vous plaît. I see. You're certain? Oh, that takes a rather different complexion on things. C'est une autre... never mind. Thanks very much. I'll keep in touch.
Whew. Now what? Apart from the French lesson.
Well, the old man died of drowning, all right. But he was heavily drugged. He drowned while he was unconscious.
Drugged? But how?
With one of the very latest quick-action anesthetics that you... Shh. I don't say anything about this to him, Joe.
Come in. Entree.
Inspector Galloway?
Yes?
I'm Mari Grant. Bob Trench said you wanted to see me.
Ah, sit down, Miss Grant. We're just clearing up a few formalities.
Formalities? The way Bob Trench made it sound, you're practically suspicious of murdering the poor old man.
Would his death make any difference to you?
Well, Jimmy and I could get married now instead of having to wait for 4 more years. That's not important enough to make us commit a major crime. We could wait.
I gather you can't swim, Miss Grant.
No.
Yet you have a face mask and snorkel for underwater work.
Why, yes, but I don't go out of my depth. I just walk in through deep and then sit or crouch down so that my breathing tube's still clear of the surface. And watch the fishes and things. I don't swim out of my depth ever.
And Grandad was way out of your depth?
Oh, yes, but he was a fine swimmer.
Did you go into the water wearing your face mask and snorkel tube during this morning?
Yes, 3 times altogether.
I see. Were you fond of the old man?
Yes, very, and he liked me, too. He just didn't believe in marrying too young.
You work at Trench Chemicals Limited?
Me? Oh, no, I'm a hospital nurse. I met Jimmy Trench when he came to the hospital. I was nursing him for a fractured collarbone. He was thrown out of his sports car.
Miss Grant, speaking as a hospital nurse, how would you account for this thing happening, in view of the fact that the old man was a strong swimmer?
I really don't know, Inspector. You see, a similar thing happened a week ago. But as soon as his head went into the water, he woke up. I can't think why he didn't wake this time. Unless he had a stroke or a heart attack.
Hmm. Thank you very much, Miss Grant. Is Jimmy Trench back yet? We'd like to see him.
No, he isn't. It'll be a dreadful shock to him when he does get back.
Mary, what's happened? The hotel porter said something's happened to Grandad.
Hasn't anyone said anything to you?
No, Gladys told me you were in here. What's it all about? Perhaps if Miss Grant would excuse us, we could have a chat with you and explain things.
Well, why should Mary leave us? What is going on?
The inspector will explain, Jimmy.
Inspector? You mean it's a police job? Just clearing up a few details. We'll see you later, Miss Grant.
All right. Don't worry, Jimmy. They're only routine inquiries.
It's all right. I'll see you soon. Well, perhaps somebody will tell me. Is Grandad dead? I'm afraid so.
But how? Why?
He seemed all right to me when I left to get a letter to the post.
Perfectly all right.
How could you tell?
Well, naturally, I glanced at him as I left the beach.
Was he moving?
He wasn't threshing about or anything, but I didn't have any impression of him being in trouble. He was just lying there on his rubber mattress, same as usual.
Face up or face down?
Face down, I think. Let me try and get the picture again. Yes, face down. Of course, he kept changing his position to give himself an all-over suntan. He was a great man, Grandad. Vital and active. I can't understand him going like this.
Did they try artificial respiration?
Tried everything.
No use, though. At what time did you leave the beach to go and write your letter?
Oh, about 11:45, I suppose.
How many swims did you have this morning?
Three dips since about 9:00.
You go fairly well out when you're swimming, or stay close inshore?
If I'm with Marley and we're playing around at beach balls and things, I'd stay close inshore. Otherwise, I'd rather wear my underwater equipment and go about 1/4 mile out.
I understand the raft was always anchored to a post knocked into the beach.
Oh, yes. Grandad was no mug. He'd paddle out as far as he wanted to, lie there and sleep, and then just haul himself back to the beach on the anchor rope.
He'd recently bought a new inflatable mattress, we understand.
Yes. The rubber plug kept on slipping out of the nozzle on the pillow. He'd wake up every now and again and find his head underwater.
History repeated itself today, I'm afraid. The plug came out again.
Well, so what? Grandad wouldn't be scared of that.
Mind you, the plug shouldn't come out again. Not on a new mattress. You don't think he had a heart attack or a blackout or something?
Maybe. Who inflated the raft? Who blew it up this morning?
Bob did. Bob and Gladys between them.
One thing, all their problems are solved now.
How do you mean? Well, Grandmother's dead set against Gladys. She's married, you see, and her husband won't let her go. And Bob wants to be a painter. He wants to leave the firm and settle down in Paris.
Granddad wouldn't stand for that either.
Are you intending to marry Miss Grant?
Yes. When I'm good and ready. I mean, no, I am. If I've got my inheritance coming, life should offer quite a few interesting new facets from now on. Not that I'm anything but horrified at poor Granddad going. I really am upset about that. He was a great guy.
Great. Well, I'm sure you must be heartbroken. Would you ask Miss Gladys Baker to come in, please?
Yes, of course.
Please sit down, Miss Baker.
Thank you. He was such a dear old man. Such a gentleman.
You liked him?
Everybody liked him. He was a real old English gentleman. And to go like this, it doesn't make sense to me.
Why doesn't it?
Does it? What killed him? How did he die? I saw the artificial respiration, you know, Clyde, on the beach. But Granddad never drowned. Never.
He did, you know.
I don't believe it. He was too good a swimmer. Not unless he had a heart attack or a stroke or somebody hit him over the head.
Do you know anybody with motive enough to want to do that?
Motive? Not that I know of.
But he disapproved of you. And he disapproved of Bob Trench wanting to be an artist and live in Paris.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, now you'll have no one to stop you doing exactly what you like. Especially if Bob Trench hasn't been cut out of the will.
I don't like you saying things like that. Who's been talking to you? Young Mari? She's a deep one, I tell you.
How do you mean, deep?
She's been playing her cards right. Ask Jimmy Trench. Mari's a nurse. And she's been sucking up like mad to the old man to take along as his personal nurse. I reckon she's got an eye to the main chance, you know.
Main chance?
Yes. Marrying the old man. She watched his diet for him, gave him his injections, saw that he got his rest. Be careful, Granddad. Not too much carbohydrate. He loved it. Being fussed over by a pretty young woman. And he wasn't that old, you know. They never are.
Tell me, what do you do for a living, I mean?
I'm a dentist receptionist. Why?
Oh, nothing. Just wondered. You're separated from your husband.
That's nobody's business but mine and my husband.
And Bob Trench's, sure.
Yes, and Bob Trench's, if you like. Nobody else's.
You're a good swimmer.
Yes, very good.
And did you help to inflate the rubber mattress this morning?
Yes, I did know you come to mention it. Why?
Did you inflate the pillow section?
Yes.
Was the rubber plug fixed in tightly or not?
Very tightly. I rammed it home myself.
So it would have taken some force to remove the plug?
Well, it wouldn't have fallen out. Besides, it was on a piece of string.
Just what difference would a piece of string make?
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be missing. It'd be there, wouldn't it? Normally, I mean, hanging on a string attached to the mattress.
So it would, Miss...
Mrs. Baker.
Thank you, Mrs. Baker. That'll be all for now. Thanks a lot for your help.
And there it was. The inspector and I went out with underwater equipment and searched the seabed around about where the raft had been. We found the rubber plug, still with the string attached. And the string looked as though it had been cut. The time of death was established at around 11 o'clock. So now you know as much as we know.
Our three experts have heard the facts in the crime play Murder in the Mediterranean. Now they have the right to ask questions of the people concerned. The completely unrehearsed questions will be answered without any script or help by the persons interrogated, and they must tell the truth, except in the case of the guilty party, who can and will try to get out of difficulty if he or she is able to. Over now to John Arlott.
I'm afraid this is becoming something of a habit, but could we, before we turn to the suspects, ask you a few questions, Ted Mason?
If I can help you in any way, I'm only too pleased.
This modern anesthetic that you've fathered onto the program, refraining from commercial plugs to name it, how's it administered?
By hypodermic syringe.
And how fast does it work?
Immediately.
I see. Thank you, Ted. Perhaps we could start then on your suspects and speak, first of all, if we might, to Bob Trench. Now sit down, Mr. Trench. Bob.
Where do you work? At my grandfather's factory.
And what do you do? Do you work in the laboratory or the office?
No, I'm a personnel manager.
Personnel manager? Mm. You have access to all the factories?
Well, yes. I get around the place, of course.
Do you handle stocks of anesthetics or anything?
No.
You don't?
No.
But after the raft was inflated, did you see your grandfather go out in it? Or on it?
Yes.
You saw him pull it out or whatever it is?
Well, he got on it. He paddled himself out. He got on it and let the string out that it was attached to. in his usual way, which he always did, and went out beyond the maddening crowd, as he used to call it, and lie there in the sun quietly.
Could you and your brother and Gladys Baker all have swum out as far as the old man's raft?
Oh, certainly, yes.
How deep was the water under his raft, would you suppose, roughly?
I don't know. It was just out of my depth. I'm 6'3", and it was certainly out of my depth. That's all I can say.
Could anyone who couldn't swim have pulled themselves out to the raft on the anchor rope?
I would say that's quite possible.
When you were laying around on the beach, did you keep your eye on the handbags of the girls or anything like that?
No.
Not at all?
No.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Trench, and I wonder now if we could speak to Marie Grant. Sit down, Miss Grant. Buck?
Miss Grant, what injections did you give to old Mr. Trench?
Injections of vitamins.
At what interval did you give these injections?
Twice a week, for the last 6 months or so.
Only twice a week? You gave him no other injections but injections twice a week?
No, that's right.
Mm. Was the old man due for an injection that morning at all?
He had one, did he?
8:30,
yes.
At 8:30?
Yes.
And he wasn't due for another half a week then?
No, that's right.
What was the last time that you saw Jimmy near his granddad on the raft, I mean?
Yesterday, I should think.
But did he go right out to the raft, I mean? Or this morning?
Oh, I don't know.
You didn't see him?
I didn't see him, no. He may have done, I don't know.
Did he speak to you at all before he went to post the letter?
Yes, he said he was going to write an important letter, and he'd post it, but he wouldn't be long because he'd be back in time to get some drinks.
Did he say anything about keep your eye on Granddad because he's lying face down or anything?
No.
Have you at any time had any access to drugs, particularly anesthetics?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever administered an anesthetic by injection?
No.
All right. Thank you. I wonder now if we could then speak to Jimmy Trench. Just sit down, Mr. Trench. Now, Bob?
On the morning this happened, Mr. Trench, did you swim out as far as your grandfather or past him?
No. I wasn't really feeling as energetic as all that this morning, I must say. I was splashing around the water most of the time. A lot of the time I was staying with Marie, who doesn't swim at all. And certainly I never got out as far as that.
So you didn't really take much notice of him at all that morning?
No, I was aware that he was there. He liked being on his own, and we just left him to it.
It was evident when you came back that you didn't know what happened to your grandfather.
Not at all.
He was dead, though.
I was told.
You were told. What made you ask if you didn't know how he died? Why whether they'd given him artificial respiration? Why did that come to your mind?
I suppose it was the very first thing that came to my mind. I mean, what is the order?
Thing that came to your mind was he had a heart attack or a stroke. You mentioned those.
I don't think so. I don't think this was the first thing. The first thing that occurred to me, because I'd last seen him in the water, was that it was some accident to do with the water. Yes. That he'd been drowned.
But he's a very strong swimmer. Why did you think such a strong swimmer should have been drowned?
Well, there he was, regardless of what had happened. There he was. I was told that he was dead, and something of the kind must have happened to him, wasn't it?
You said that before you left the beach, you glanced at your grandfather and noticed that he was face down.
Yes, but so he frequently was.
Didn't that worry you at all?
Not at all. He was a
great swimmer. Well, did you start to see him that way?
It didn't surprise me at all. He's very fond of the sun and rather vain for an old man of 70, if I may say so. He was always concerned about the extent of his...
Did you notice at that time that the pillow was deflated?
No, certainly not.
Have you normally any access at all to drugs or anesthetics?
No, although I work in the factory here. My job is in public relations and I don't handle the drugs at all. In fact, there's a very careful security check kept on them.
Vitamins were given to your grandfather by syringe, yes?
Yes, he did have it.
Who gave them to him?
For the last few months, Marie did.
Nobody else except her of your party of four has ever given them to
him? Oh, no, not at once, certainly not as far as I know.
I understand. Thank you, Mr. Trench.
Thank you.
And perhaps as you go out, you'd ask Mrs. Baker to come in.
Certainly.
Mrs. Baker, do you act only as receptionist to the dentist who employs you?
Oh, no. I'm a dental assistant.
You've helped in the surgery?
Yes.
Access to his drugs or hypodermic syringes?
Yes.
Have you ever had cause to give old Mr. Trench an injection yourself?
Good heavens, no.
What's the state of your matrimonial affairs? I mean, I do know that... it's all right. I'm sorry, Mr. Baker, but I must ask you this.
Thanks.
I know there was a little remark that they were stalemate, rather, but is there any chance of a divorce at all?
Not at the moment, I'm afraid.
So there's no chance, really, of your continuing prosperously with Bob unless the old man died?
Well,
let's be blunt.
Probably not.
Thank you, sir.
Mrs. Baker, what type of plug was it in the pillow end of the mattress? Was it a push-in plug or a screw-in?
Oh, yes, a push-in.
Just a push-in?
Yes.
Did you swim out to the old man's raft at all that morning?
Not that morning, no.
You have in the past, but you didn't...
Oh, yes, often past. Mm.
Now, we come to Marie. How far toward the raft do you think Marie could have got? I mean, assuming she went underwater and pulled herself along the rope.
Well, I suppose she could go as far as she wanted.
She could get out to the raft, in other words, in your opinion.
Yes.
Well, how did you know the plug was missing?
Bob, I'm sorry. There's the signal for the end of the interrogation. There were a couple of questions I might have thrown in myself, but that's the end of it.
Oh, yeah.
And, right, well, we're at the end of that. We've got to make up our minds. I don't know if we feel as we did before we started the interrogation. You're still out on your back, are you?
Yes, my position's weak, John, but I stick to it.
Right, and Bob, you're on your double stringer, are you?
Yes, I'm rather.
All right, well, you've got a split decision, Bob. Buck?
Well, I think Marie did it. I think, of course, she had a motive in that she wanted to get married. She had guilty knowledge that she knew the plug was missing, as in fact they all did. She could have pulled herself out, in my view, along that rope underwater, having been exonerated, apparently, by the fact that she was the only one who could not get out there, who couldn't swim. And another point is that these instant-acting anesthetics are administered intravenously. And in my view, she is the only one who would know enough to find the vein to shoot it into the old gentleman as he lay on the raft, she having come up on the far side of the raft. And that's out of view of the beach.
My bet is going to be Gladys Baker, because she knew that the plug was not only out of the pillow, but also missing and gone with the string. I think she knows about anesthetics. She's worked on them. She can swim out. She can do the whole thing. And you've only got to go out, give the old man one jab with the syringe and pull the plug out and cut it, which seems to me so unnecessary that nobody might have noticed it. Bob?
Well, I couple up your Gladys Baker with Bob Trent's, because they both knew that the plug was missing, particularly. And it's very weak for them to say they just saw it. It's an extraordinary thing to take notice of that sort of thing.
Well, John, this is the first time, I think, that I've had four suspects for you. And you've had a go at all three, except the one who really did the job.
We missed a clue, Ted.
Yes, I think you did, except that you asked the question and obviously must have been satisfied with the lying answer that was given. The only person who made a real mistake was Jimmy Trench, because you asked him yourself, what made you ask if your grandfather had been given artificial respiration? Now, normally, artificial respiration is only given in case of drowning persons. In those circumstances, I mean, on a raft on the Mediterranean. He could only say that if he knew that his grandfather was drowned. No one had told him. And yet he said, was artificial respiration given? Which immediately showed everyone that he knew that his grandfather had been drowned. He stole the hypodermic, of course, from his grandfather's bedroom. He swam out to the raft during the morning, and he administered the hypodermic, which made his grandfather unconscious. He pulled out the plug. For some stupid reason, he cut the string, which was not necessary, but he did. The pillow deflated, and his grandfather's head went down below the water, and he was drowned. Meantime, he was away posting a letter, writing a letter, doing various things. He came back. He didn't know anything, apparently, about what had happened. He didn't even know whether his grandfather was dead. And yet he says, as you pointed out, was he given artificial respiration? This is a strong swimmer, a healthy man.
All right, Ted, don't rub it in. You've won by more than 100%.
John Arlott, F.R. Buckley, and Robert Fabian were the panel in Murder in the Mediterranean, a problem in crime detection from the BBC series Guilty Party. The play was written by Edward J. Mason, and the program produced by Tony Schreiner.